Us this morning. I want to start off by saying thanks to George and to Mary and to all those, Pastor Kate and all those that helped keep the church going. I mean, I'm a pretty small part of it. They kept it going while I was gone for a week. But thank you so much for all those that were helping out while I was gone to Iceland this last week. So that was a fun trip I had with my brother. And I'm you know, I was telling some people, I said, you know, now I'm about my, you know, my body clock is about 5 hours earlier than it was normally because it's 5 hours later there. So that puts me about even with the rest of you who like to get up so early in the morning. So, if I can just keep going this way, I'll be up bright and early with the rest of you. But otherwise, we'll see how long that lasts. Anyway. But as you can see, a number of announcements as usual in the back of the bulletin. One thing to keep in mind, there is a meeting today about veggie stand information. Now, I'm also going to include in our prayers this morning Mary Vukolic, who is going to lead that. Her mother is in the hospital, so we're going to pray for her mother. But I believe someone else is filling in for her this morning. So please, if you are interested in learning more about the veggie stand, check that out during our social hour. There's also a worship and music committee meeting this week. So if you're on that committee, please keep that in mind. There's also, I did notice a typo, Mary. It's on Tuesday is the pastor's text study, not text study. I don't know if that's for like Tex-Mex food or if there's a pastor text. That sounds kind of fun. I don't know. Struck me as funny this morning when I was reading over it. Other than that, yeah, exactly. We also noticed in there another announcement again about the school pantry, so please keep that in mind. I think there's already been a number of donations to that, but I'm sure the kids will appreciate it. Other than that, is there anything else that people have to share at this time? Any prayers or any other odds and ends to mention? All right. Well, if that is all we have for now, please be ready for our opening. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life, for water to bathe in, water to drink, for waters to play in and waters that inspire wonder, for water that gives life to our planet. Give thanks, O God, for the waters of life. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place, for water from our tap, for rain and snow, for Mille Lacs and the Mississippi and all the lakes and rivers and streams of our great land. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place. We give you thanks for your salvation through water, for delivering Noah and his family through the floodwaters, for leading your people Israel through the sea into freedom, for preserving your prophet Elijah through the time of drought, for guiding your people across the Jordan into a new land, for quenching the Samaritan woman's thirst with living water. We give you thanks for your salvation through water. We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized and for all who gather here, for godparents and baptismal sponsors, for children and grandchildren, for our brothers and sisters in Christ whom we have never seen, but to whom we are bound. We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized. We give you thanks for life in Christ through your Holy Spirit, for our entry into Jesus' death through these waters, for our new birth into a life of freedom and service, for our calling to be your people, sent out for the life of the world. We give you thanks, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's first reading is from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is it to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Ephesus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's psalm is Psalm 22. Please read where you see the bold print. "From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
For shall all need to be satisfied, let those who seek the Lord give praise, may their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For the kingdom belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they can see cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I travel, I like to try to blend in as much as possible, or at least to experience the place as much as possible, like a local would experience it, to not be the obvious tourist, to not eat at every McDonald's and Hard Rock Cafe. Cell phones are a great modern tool. You don't need to have a map open, you know, on a street corner trying to find where you're staying or where you intend to go. You can just kind of pretend like you're just texting someone. You can have your guidebook on there even. You can download that. So I was very happy on my trip to Iceland that I was able to make use of all these technological features. But I was a little nervous before we even got on the plane. The night before... My trip to Iceland, my brother and I did a little bit of last-minute shopping. You know, had to get the travel-size toothpaste and the travel-size shampoo and conditioner. And my brother needed to pick up some swim trunks, right? Because there's all these heated pools in Iceland, and the geothermal springs you can just lay back in and relax and just sort of enjoy kind of looking around and being all very comfortable in the warm water. But his first choice of swim trunks was American flag swim trunks. You know, the old stars and stripes stretched across his butt. You know, it just, I'm just like, oh, this is not a great beginning. Now, he may have just been trying to get my goat a little bit. But there was an uncomfortably long few minutes where I couldn't tell if he was joking or not. So eventually, whether I convinced him or he gave up on the joke, he did choose another pair. But I was a little nervous at first. For someone who wants to, like, not raise any attention, just wants to kind of blend in, the idea of stars and stripes swim trunks was not my ideal. I was thinking, like, you know, maybe I need to translate the phrase, hey, I don't know that guy, in Icelandic. So luckily it didn't come to that. Now, you know, this Sunday we are blessed with a number of wonderful readings, one of those Sundays that a preacher always enjoys. But I especially enjoy our reading from Acts this morning. Whenever it comes up, I feel like I need to preach on it. It's just a fun sort of a story. It's so strange, and I think it's meant to be a little funny. You know, it's this image of Philip being called by an angel of the Lord to just go check out this road. Like, there's this road out in the wilderness, just go out there. And you can think of Philip like, all right, fine, whatever, I'll go out there. And then he goes out there, and you know, traveling by on his chariot is about the strangest person that an ancient Israelite could have seen. This is, as much as we give Skip a hard time for being a little odd, this is like times 1,000, you know. So I love picking on Skip. That's why I missed that for this last week. It was a whole week without, and then a whole bunch, like a couple months before that, so I got to get it back in now. But no, this is like the strangest person that Philip could have seen traveling by. It's this Ethiopian eunuch, and you can imagine the strange dress, the foreign manner. He's on a chariot. He's not only that, but he's reading scriptures while the chariot's trotting by. He's sitting in his chariot and must be reciting it out loud. You can just see Philip kind of like, what is going on? What did I just wander into? And somehow the chariot must not have been going very fast, because Philip can take this all in and then runs up to the chariot, and then I guess he must jump on the chariot. Because later it says the chariot stops after they've had this conversation. But for a moment you're like, is Philip just like having this conversation like while he's running along, like explaining the scriptures? I mean, Philip must be in good shape just to do all this. But I'm thinking maybe he jumped on the chariot somehow, which is also kind of a funny thought too. So anyway, Philip chases after this strange man. And I think this man is chosen specifically, this story is chosen specifically to be written down in the book of Acts because of the strangeness. You know, the Ethiopian is mentioned to be some kind of believer. He's just been to Jerusalem. He's offered up worship and prayer. But he would be pretty odd. He was, you know, an important court official from a foreign country, a foreign queen. You remember, this, of course, is a very male-centric society. Of course, he's reading Scripture, which would have been, you know, literacy was not very common back then. He owned Scripture. That wasn't very common. You know, books weren't just something you could get off the shelf or download onto your device. Like, this would have been an expensive thing. He's a man who has a great deal of responsibility. You know, and of course, there is, you know, this issue, too, that he is a eunuch. And again, in a very male-centered society, you know, and not all eunuchs probably were castrated, but again, just the thought, I'm sure for many an Israelite man, it would have been uncomfortable. And there are passages in the Old Testament that set up some barriers for eunuchs in terms of religious observances. And yet, other passages in Isaiah, maybe that's why he was reading from the book of Isaiah, do seem to offer some measure of reaching out to eunuchs and making them part of the covenant of God. But still, this would have been a very strange person. Of all the Gentiles that now these, you know, these new Christian disciples are being called to reach out to, not just Jews, but also to Gentiles, this would have been like the most Gentile-y of all the Gentiles, right? He's not even a Roman, you know. Romans, they were kind of hated a little bit, but at least you could sort of respect a Roman, right? They were organized, they were more, you know, thought of probably being as a little bit more civilized. Certainly Paul was a Roman. But here's this person from way down in Africa that would have seemed very, very strange. And so here we have Philip being called to minister to this person. You know, and it's this great moment where they come together and they discuss Scripture, and there is this conversion. There is this moment of faith where a new person becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, as the disciples begin to travel and spread it throughout the known world, you know, they have to share this incredible good news. You know, 1 John, one of our other readings for this morning, probably wasn't written yet, but you can imagine them sharing these messages and how wonderful they may have been received. You know, this message of love, that, you know, God is love, that this love is a gift meant for all of us. And, you know, you think of the other ancient religions of that world that were often very much about sacrifices or appeasing some angry god so it doesn't punish you, or trying to buy the favor of a god with your sacrifices. Here is this God that has sacrificed for us, that loves us, that we aren't just some servant or some slave or some, you know, person who should pay allegiance to a God, that we are beloved children of God, that God would even go to the cross to show how much God loved us. You know, it's this incredible message, and how this might be heard by all the people that felt excluded or on the edges or on the margins or not part of the official in crowd. That here is this God that is reaching out for everyone. And how there is a little bit of an edge in that message, like in 1 John, where there is a message to those that feel fairly comfortably on the inside as well. That, you know, what is it that we read this morning? Right, that whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know, that sounds like wonderful and pleasing, but we begin to see this edge build a little bit, right? And, you know, perfect love casts out fear. Okay, right, I have lots of fears. And then we see an even more conclusive statement by John, that those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters, are liars. Right? Because for all the oddities, you know, maybe the Ethiopian eunuch would have just been seen as like this nice sort of exotic sort of token example of the way that God can reach out to everybody. And he would seem kind of nice and fun and, you know, a relatively civilized person, even if they're not an Israelite. You know, he's a pretty important person. He's wealthy. You know, we can probably let him in on the inside. But we know, even in our society today, that sometimes when there are all these differences, fear takes hold, nervousness takes hold, judgment takes hold. We maybe accept a few individuals, but if there's a whole bunch of them, if all of a sudden we realize when God says to love everybody, God really means everybody, that maybe that strikes us a little difficult. That we wonder, well, okay, yeah, well, love everybody, but I kind of thought God just meant me and the person on either side of me. I didn't really think it'd be that person over there or that person over there. You know, I'd like to say that we've improved, and I think we have as a society, but we know that there are still people that they have fear when you think about all these differences. And that Ethiopian man, he checked off a lot of the boxes, right? He was from another country, a different sort of culture, a different sort of gender and sexuality, a different sort of whatever and what have you. You know, this is someone who, if you're looking for something to hate, you know, man, there's a lot of different things a person with that mindset could take hold of. And that's something that still takes hold of us today. You know, we've made a lot of improvements, and yet we still have a long way to go. A lot of God's love that needs to be perfected within us. You know, many years later, Luther will go on to point out that that perhaps one of the most important piece of our sacraments, right, is in the words that we speak, and especially the words for you, right? That this communion, the body and blood are for you, that this baptismal waters are for you. And, you know, this is such an important piece, and it's something that can often be very difficult. Sometimes when we hear it, we don't believe it can be for us, because maybe we feel a little weird, a little like we're really sticking out like a sore thumb. Or maybe it's we have a difficulty with the for you because we know that our neighbor is hearing it as well. That message is for them as well. And one of the amazing bits in this passage from Acts is that this Ethiopian eunuch, he hears that and he takes it to heart. In fact, he takes it to heart even faster than Philip, right? It's not Philip that suggests the baptism, it's the eunuch. He suggests it. He hears this message that Philip has preached, and he hears that it's for him. And he says, hey, there's some water. Let's do this baptism thing. You know, I'm a busy guy. I got to get back to Ethiopia. It's a long road. You know, let's just do it right here. Let's get it done. And Philip, you can kind of imagine, it's like, well, all right, fine. You're right. Let's do it. Let's just go have this baptism right here, right now. And then, of course, clearly the Holy Spirit thought Philip had a lot of other important things to do, too, because right after the baptism is done, while the eunuch is probably still dripping wet from the baptism, Philip just gets swept up by the Holy Spirit and transported somewhere else. You know, the Holy Spirit moves quick, and it has lots of people that it has to reach out to. You know, we have this gift of love, and it reaches out to all of us, and all of our weirdness, and all of our stick-out-like-a-sore-thumbness, for all of us that feel like we're wearing, you know, American flag shorts. Maybe not literally, but symbolically, you know, we may stick out like a sore thumb here and there. We may know others that stick out like a sore thumb, people that may not seem to fit in as well as we feel like we might fit in or they should fit in. But God's love is for all of us. It's for all of us. You know, God looks at us, sees our sins, sees all of our rough edges, and still sees in us something worthy of love. And that through us, God's love can be shared throughout, you know, perhaps because of our rough edges, right? Sometimes it's the trials and the tribulations that we've gone through in our life that make us so able to be disciples, right? If we just live lives where we're stuck in a room, we may have less to offer for others that have been through the same trials and tribulations that we have. Sometimes our rough edges are just what God needs to reach out to others. So be ready, folks. The Holy Spirit moves quick. It might send us into strange places. It might send us to strange people, whether that's right across the road, whether it's across the lake, whether it's in the Twin Cities or in Duluth, whether it's over in New York or California, whether it's in Ethiopia or Iceland or wherever you might go. God sends us out to share the good news, to find our other brothers and sisters, to love them as much as we are able. Because if we don't, if we say that we love God and we don't love our brothers and sisters, we don't really know the full extent of God's love. So be ready. The Holy Spirit moves quick. Just maybe leave the American flag shorts at home. So, amen. Your faith formation for missionaries and Bible study leaders, for those who are seeking, questioning, or curious, for seminarians, campus ministers, and the newly baptized, let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for the beauty and health of the earth, for vineyards and orchards, groves and plains, for rainforests and Arctic tundra, for volcanoes and mountains, hills and valleys, for oceans deep and rivers wide, let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for spears to be beat into pruning hooks, for harsh words to be reformed into loving speech, for bombs and sniper attacks to cease, for justice and peace in every land, let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for homeless youth and rejected children, for isolated grandparents and lonely nursing home residents, for the shamed, the slighted, and the disregarded members of our communities, for all the sick, let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for all those who live with post-traumatic stress disorder and postpartum depression, for all who struggle with eating disorders and anorexia, for all who suffer in silence and all who suffer alone, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Today, O God, we remember in our prayers the mother of Mary Vukelich, as she is currently in the hospital. Please be with her and with her family as they seek healing and comfort in her life. And now, O God, we offer up all those other prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds. We lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. In thanksgiving for all the mystics and theologians who live eternally with you, for those we mourn and those we would rather forget, for the kingdom on earth to be as it is in heaven, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of
faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing your praise within your house forever, within your house forever.